to an idea which I think is mamish inyan adiyomad. I'm not talking about Purim, I'm talking about the world as it is today. Okay, so Osef Amarim, page Kuf Samaches. Bebitul klipas amalek yisbatlu kol hamistafim elav. When we take out Amalek, when we destroy Amalek, we destroy all those that are mekusher to Amalek. We're going to learn about two particular ways that Amalek attacks us. And we'll see that these two areas that need to be fortified and strengthened, at every major turning point in Jewish history, we struggle with these two inyanim. And it's mamish, the inyan of the world today. And that itself should be machazik us that Mashiach is very close. But let's see. Bizarre Kadosh Isa, it says in Tikkuni Zohar, Shekodem Bias HaMashiach Yehye B'Bnei Yisrael Shultanusa De'erevav. There's a mitzias, there's a painful reality, that before Mashiach's arrival, we're going to have to deal with the Erevav. Now you say, who are the Erevav? The mixed multitudes. What does that mean? When we left Mitzrayim, there were certain individuals who tried to mix in, who tried to join the Jewish people. And much of the tsaros that we had afterwards throughout our years in the Midbar came about because of this Erevav, these inauthentic Jews. But the Zohar is telling us there's a mitzias of Erevav in every generation. In other words, there are people, perhaps Jews, perhaps non-Jews, who somehow embody the spirit of the Erevav. Somehow they embody the spirit of the Erevav. Okay, let's see what we should do about the Erev Rav. By the way, what's the gematria of Erev Rav? Four, seven, four. So what is that? Just do it. Like do the gematria. What would 474 be? So 400. Tafayin Dalet, right? Or Das. Das. So perhaps part of the Ad Lo Yada of Purim, of the Bittel Hadas, by negating our Das, we're really negating the Erev Rav. See, the whole Indian of Erev Rav, what does it mean? An Erev, right? Your Buvia, where things are all mixed up. Purim is a very mixed up kind of day in Kedusha. But often we find ourselves very mixed up, lacking clarity. And again, that's the whole world of Amalek. As the Sfarim say, Amalek is Gematria Suffolk, right? It's lack of clarity. It's uncertainty. Tayesh Hashem bikirbeinu amayin. No, pick a team. Whose side are you on? Like Eliyahu says on Har Carmel to the Nevi'e Baal, if you believe in God, so worship God. If you believe in Avodah Zarah, so worship Avodah Zarah. Ad Masai, how long are you going to be bouncing back and forth between the two worlds? Pick which team you're on. If you're a serious Jew, be a serious Jew. And if you want to live a life of hedonistic pleasure, then do it well. Take it seriously. But in a certain sense, the worst place to be is to be in a world called Erev Rav. Right? So if I get trapped in that world, where my mind is all mibulbal, so one way to solve the problem is to just, you know, throw away your mind and just trust in Hashem. So that's sort of what we do on Purim. We negate the Erev Rav by being mevatel our das, and I just have bitachon in Hashem. It's a big theme on Purim. Negating my own hishtadlus to lean a little bit more, or a lot more, on a Kaddish Baruch. Okay? V'yu kama mine erevav. Yeah, Yehuda, since you're the chassan, we'll let you speak.
I'm not sure if you want to use that for, but...
Let's hear.
Das is a kid without the
yod. Das is...
So it's like, the teacher that...
Interesting. Interesting. Okay, something to think about. It's interesting. A tid without the yod. Okay. Vayu kama mina erevav. There's many types of erevav. Yu erevav, shivnu bate knesios, u bate midrashos, viachnisu sefer Torah le'echal. There's an erevav, Rachmana Litzlan, sometimes, that builds shuls, and builds a base medrash, and brings the sefer Torah, you know, into the Aron, so to speak. Viesh erevav, shehim amalekim. Meaning sometimes erevav, that's part of the confusion and the danger of erevav. I don't really know who I'm dealing with here. Are you a person who truly supports us? Are you a person who opposes us? Sometimes the Erev Rav comes in the appearance of someone who is righteous. Sometimes the Erev Rav comes in the appearance of an enemy like an Amalek. Lo Amalekim b'chitzoni yusam, elishem islabish behem b'chinas Amalekim. not someone who's externally a malik, but someone who, so to speak, dresses himself in the form of a malik. What does that mean? Kamosh Mavar Ha'ariya Kadosh, like the Arizal explains, listen to this. I never knew this until I saw it in this Sefer. B'tam Shemavarchim Kol Yom Birchas Shelo Asani Gai. Why do I have to wake up every morning and say Shelo Asani Gai? I mean, that was determined 38 years ago when I entered this world to Jewish parents. I'm a Jew. No? Maybe one day, on my bar mitzvah, I enter into all mitzvahs, I should say, Shelo Asani Gai. Embrace the responsibility of Torah and the gift of Torah. Why do I make a bracha every morning, Shelo Asani Gai? The Arizal explains a frightening idea. Lefi sheyitachin asher be'eis sheinas ha'adam, tischaber la'adam nishmas gai. Because it's possible when a person goes to sleep, a person turns off their mind, God forbid, it's possible for a person in their sleep to take on, to attach themselves to the neshama of a gai. In other words, you're not going to wake up one morning and you're not Jewish, but it's possible for a person in their sleep, as the neshama is being, so to speak, you know, cleansed, the neshama is sort of leaving the body on a certain level and then re-entering the body in a certain level in the morning. So there's a danger that my neshama will come back not Jewish. Maybe a shtickle erev rav. V'harehu gam apikores gamu rachman alatzlan. Right? I can wake up and who knows what I've become when I wake up in the morning. So if I wake up and I feel Jewish, and I want to be a Yid, and I get out of bed like a Jew, and I go to shul like a Jew, and I daven like a Jew, and I'm excited to be a Jew. So I thank Hashem in the morning for making me a Jew this morning. Don't take it for granted. You could become a shtickle guy in your sleep. So too, we have a malik, or the embodiment of a malik, amongst what we would call today's Erev Rav. Now again, I'm not sure who he's speaking against specifically. I don't know if we have to define it specifically. But there are individuals who are mevakshim la'akura seyadus min ha'shoresh mamish. Like we were learning how a malik targets the essence of a Jew. So too, there are things, sometimes from within, sometimes from without, which try to uproot the essential Jewishness of us. Ve'einu mesugalim lisbol kol hiskadmus biyadus she'esh b'nei Yisrael. And they won't allow any progression, any development or enrichment of the Jewish people. They'll challenge things that are actually helping the Jewish people to move forward. They hate Torah and mitzvos, and by extension, of course, they hate God Himself. Top of the next page, Kof Samach Tes. So we have to also learn the pasuk or the sugya in a simple way. If you destroy a malik, so anything that has, you know, a connection to a malik is destroyed with it as well. In other words, there's little traces of a malik all over the place. A malik is like a very deadly virus that spreads a little here, a little there. Right? There's the essential amalek, and then there's manifestations of amalek. But when we destroy the essential amalek, when we can find the root of the problem, again, like I told you, Avodah Zarah Daf Mem Peh, when you uproot Avodah Zarah, you got to dig out the roots. When we can get the roots out of the ground, then all of those, you know, those branches of amalek, yeah, Chabad houses, amalek has little amalek houses all over the place, right? But when the epicenter collapses, when their center of Amalek activity is burnt to the ground, so then there's no longer any funding for these little outposts. And all of Amalek crumbles. Okay, so through our Torah and mitzvos, we fight Amalek, fine. This is the Inyan of the Erev Rav, as it manifests itself in every generation, and a malik as it manifests itself in every generation. But now we come to the main point for today. We're only going to do two more paragraphs in here, and then I'm going to give you a piece of Nesivas Shalom to expand this idea. He writes in the next paragraph, "Is gabrus beis klipos amalei kodem bias Mashiach, kedusha ve'emuna." The two manifestations of a malik that will be strongest in the world before Mashiach comes, that people will struggle with, and it will be so damaging to the essential Jewish soul, are Inyane Kedusha and Inyane Emuna. Let's see what that means. V'Rabbeinu b'kalach she'yada godel ha'kesher sh'bein Yisrael ha'Shem Yisbarach. Rabbi Nachman, who understood and spoke at length about that very, very strong bond that exists, that infinitely strong bond that exists between the Jewish people and Hashem, b'kalach ma'she'yada ad kama b'nei Yisrael heim nitzchiyim. Rabbi Nachman, who always spoke about what? About the eternity of the Jewish people, the fact that we're indestructible. He spoke about that so often, the netzach of the Jewish people, right? Netzach Yisrael lo yishaker. The truth, the eternity of the Jewish people. God is eternal. The Torah is eternal. The Jewish people are eternal. So a Jew says, but I'm falling apart. Rabbi Nachman says, no, you're not. You're eternal. You're fine. And he gave us tools to rebuild ourselves. That's so much of what the language of Breslov and Rabbi Nachman is about. And that's why the Sfarim tell us that Nachman, 148, is the same gematria as Netzach. That's part of the Nechama that comes from Rabbi Nachman. He comforts us by telling us it's going to be okay. And when you're going through a tough time, sometimes it's the most important thing to hear. Not even the answer of how it's going to be okay. I just need to know it's going to be okay. Tell me it's going to be okay. So Rabbi Nachman says, Netzach. Everything, you're not going anywhere. Don't worry. You're fine. You're here to stay. We're going to work this out. Lachei nilcham bedavar, and therefore Rabbi Nachman fought to protect the eternity of the Jewish people. Levi shiyada shekodem shiyava or mashiach yeh hisgabrus dur hamabul vidur haflaga beikvas of the mashiach. Wow. Saying a lot of deep things here. Rabbi Nachman knew, he's not the only tzaddik. Rav Tzadok speaks about this a lot also. It's really based on a Zohar. That before Mashiach comes, we're going to have to deal once again with the Dor HaMabel and the Dor HaFlaga. The Dor HaMabel and the Dor HaFlaga, we're going to re-experience the Dor HaMabel and the Dor HaFlaga in the Ikvus of the Mashiach, in those moments before Mashiach's arrival. The Zohar says that we are those neshamos. Three times in history, there was a whole reincarnation of a generation. The souls that existed by the Dor HaMabel and the Dor HaFlaga returned in the form of the Jews in Mitzrayim who received the Torah. So Dor HaMabel and Dor HaFlaga was really bad. Right? Dor HaMabel, we destroyed the world and brought a Mabel to the world. Dor HaFlaga, we tried to wage battle against God. Migdal Bavel, bad stuff. We got it together. Those souls came back in the form of the Jews in Mitzrayim, who eventually refined themselves through their suffering in Mitzrayim, emerged from Mitzrayim, received the Torah, and that was a good generation. Okay, so the series is tied at one. Says the Zohar, it's a best of three series. Before Mashiach comes, we're going to have to go through it one more time. Shteitan Zohar, best of three series. We lost battle one, we won the second game, the third game, best of three series, is going to be somehow a reliving of the spiritual inyan of the Dor HaMabel and Dor HaFlaga. So what does that mean? What is Dor HaMabel and Dor HaFlaga as an idea? Mishum shekodem sheyored ha'or misgabra choshech. Darkness always precedes light. Vayi erev, vayi voker. Yeshnei Mashiach, we have two redeemers, what the Gemara calls Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef, think of Yosef HaTzadik. What was Yosef HaTzadik known for? Kedusha. Yosef HaTzadik yamshich Kedusha ala olam. What? Well, it's the Mashiach who comes from the line of Yosef. Right? And the Mashiach who comes from David. So he's telling us, well, let's see, we're going to develop this idea. Mashiach ben Yosef is Kedusha. Shiyah l'bnei Yisrael chiyus shel Kedusha. That b'nei Yisrael should have a lively kedusha, a proper kedusha, called a chayim yuchayim shel kedusha, a life that is filled with holiness. We'll come to the realization that the pagam hayadua, which he's referring to sexually immoral activity, in particular, pagam hayadua usually means wasting seed, is maves shabamaves, is such a loss of holy potential. U'Mashiach ben David, and then the second Mashiach, David HaMelech, is going to be Megala to the world HaAmuna HaKadosh Shavolam. David HaMelech represents Amuna. We'll see what that means in a minute. V'kodim l'chem isgavim shnei klipos. So therefore, before we have our two Mashiachs, Mashiach ben Yosef and Mashiach ben David, representing Kedusha and Emuna, first, we need to go through Ador HaMabel. Ador HaMabel that Chazal tells us was so sexually perverse that even animals who don't have Bechira, who don't have Taivas, like we were learning yesterday in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah Daf Yudalit about the strange, perverse Taivas that Ovdei Avodah Zarah sometimes had, or maybe still have. The animals were mating with animals that were not shayach to them. The dogs and the cats were getting together. Yeah. And the tigers and the elephants were getting together. There's no taiva for such a thing. And yet there was such a as the Beis HaLevi describes in Parshas Noach, there was such a hashbah from the human beings who do have bechira that it even impacted the animal kingdom, as Rashi brings in Parshas Noach. So Dor HaMabel, the destructive waters, water always corresponds to taiva, to the ability to grow things, the same way that a person who uses a sexual drive in a healthy way can grow things, can grow babies, puravu, can grow the world, can populate the earth. If it's used wrong, it turns into a marble. It turns into a destructive waters, so to speak, destructive desires. Okay, and then you have a dor haflaga, you have a generation that tried to build a tower and wage war against God. And of course, that represents the ultimate pagam of Amunah, to think that you could fight against Hashem. But Amalek is very much connected to both of these things. Milchama l'Hashem ba'Amalek midor dor. Amalek wages war against God. And like we learned many times last week, that Amalek is what? Mizalzel and Kedusha Sabris. Amalek, right? The Rashi again, on Vayizanev Becha. They chop off the Bris Milah and they throw it at Hashem and say, God, apparently you like this. Right, you command Jewish babies to be mutilated on the eighth day of their life. So Amalek very much represents that perversion of Kedusha and Emunah. Okay? We're going to stop here with Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter Shlita, and I want to learn together to really understand what because he's hinting to a lot of things. So please take and pass. Just hold on for a couple. This is from the Nesil HaShom. How are souls reincarnated? I don't know. I mean, how are souls reincarnated? We learned the other day. Parshas Mishpatim is the parsha of Gilgulim, of reincarnation. Did you listen to that shir yet on reincarnation? Because you got to listen to the shir first, and then we could talk. That was the rule. I'll put a link in the WhatsApp group, Bezrat Hashem. Reincarnation is a very deep sugya. It's hard to know what that means. Okay, but let's see how true it is, because it's so obvious to me, and I hope it'll be obvious to you, that I think these two inyanim, Emunah and Kedusha, are what the world is struggling with today. The basic notion that there's a God in the world is very much under attack. And Kedusha, in terms of the sexual permissiveness of the world today, crazy. The world is nuts. Okay? But this is not a chiddush to us, because in our Torah sources, that's what's supposed to happen anytime we're on the verge of a big breakthrough. So let's learn this piece from the Nesil HaShalom. It's in Parshas Matos on page 169. And I'm going to summarize the first paragraph just to introduce you to the question. Right? It's describing when the Jews went out. The title of the piece is Milchemes Midyan U'Milchemes Amalek. Okay? Milchemes Midyan and Milchemes Amalek. So he starts with the Pasuk. The Pasuk says that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to go and seek revenge against the Midyanim. Right? This is Parshas Matos. What comes before Matos? What Parshas before Matos? What's before Matos? Pinchas. And what's before Pinchas? What's before Pinchas? Balak. So what happened in Balak and Pinchas? What happens at the end of Balak? Cosby and Zimri, right? Pinchas comes and he he stops this terrible act of arayos that was taking place. The chet of Baal Peor, everything that was happening there. What was this whole Baal Peor business? What do Chazal tell us? Baal Peor, they were seducing the Jewish men in order to get them to worship idols. Right? They said, if you worship my idol, then I'll commit immoral acts with you. So the whole Indian of Baal Peor got so bad to the point that Cozbi and Zimri ben Salu, who was a Nasi, the tribal head of Shevet Shimon, was being intimate with a non-Jewish princess in the middle of the street. That's how crazy it was. And it was all in the context of Avodah Zarah. So it was a pagam of Kedusha, big time, and Emunah. It was Avodah Zarah, and it was Arayos. Those two inyanim always come together. That happens at the same moment, whenever we're on the verge of a big breakthrough. So now, Parshas Matos, Hashem says to Moshe, it's time to get revenge. I want you to get revenge against the Midianim because of what they did to us. And I want you, Heichaltzu Meitchem, I want you to gather people, Anashim Latzava, Anashim, powerful men, strong men. Chazal explained, Anashim means Tzadikim. So asks the Slonim Rebbe, why Dafka, when you go to fight against Midian, do you need Tzadikim? Why do Chazal emphasize, take Tzadikim out to the battlefield? And he says, you know what, we saw this somewhere else. Because when we fight against the Malik in Parshas B'Shalach, also Yoshua is told, take Tzadikim. Why do we need Tzadikim? Why do we need Tzadikim when we go out to fight against an Amalek, or we go out to fight against a Midian? That's question number one. And his second question is, Chazal also revealed to us that by both of these wars, there was a tremendous emphasis on tefillah. As Bnei Yisrael are fighting down below, Moshe, remember the scene in B'Shalach, Moshe standing with his hands outstretched towards heaven, davening to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his arms being upheld by Aaron and Hur, being able to continue to pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and when Moshe's hands are up, they're winning the battle, and Moshe's hands are down, they're losing the battle. The same thing is true over here in Parshas Matos, by Melchemes Midian. 1,000 soldiers from each tribe go out to the battlefield. But guess what? 1,000 soldiers from each tribe have to be spiritual soldiers who stay back to Davin. 12,000 Jews go out to war. 12,000 Jews are staying back, waging battle with tefillah. Why Dafka, by these two wars, do we see this emphasis of tefillah? We need tzaddikim to be our soldiers, and we need to emphasize tefillah b'shas milchama. Why is the Torah Dafka emphasize it by Midian and by Amalek? And it's a gevaldic question with an even more gevaldic answer. So take a look at the second paragraph. V'yesh lomar, biyar inyan, dihine shar hamilchamos hayu milchamos gufanios. Everyone see where we are? Pishkuf samach test, the second paragraph. V'yesh lomar, again, we can explain the inyan as follows. By other battles, hayu milchamos gufanios shenilchamu keneged gufam shal Yisrael. More often than not, yes, of course, there's always a spiritual element to everything. But more often than not, the enemies of the Jewish people throughout history, right, were fighting us physically. It was not a spiritual battle. It was not a spiritual battle. But in the Torah, there are two battles that are very, very much about a spiritual war. Right? Usually, it's a Mohammed Gufanis. It's usually a physical battle. Ulam Mohammed Amalek lo haisa Mohammed Gufanis el Mohammed Ruchnis. The battle against Amalek was Ruchani. It was not a battle of body, it was a battle of spirit. It was the Jews coming out of Mitzrayim on their way to Kabbalah HaTorah, and Amalek said, no way. And that's why he says, this is the reason, when we're on our way to Kabbalah HaTorah, Amalek, who's the Rosh HaKlipos, came to be Mavatal our Dveikus to Hashem. And that's why the Pasuk emphasizes what? Milchama LaHashem BaAmalek. What does it say in Parshas B'Shalach? It's not a war against the Jews, it's a war against God. It's a war against godliness. Go back to the Pasuk at the beginning of the first paragraph. What does it say? Vayedaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Nikom Nikmas B'nei Yisrael. Go and fight for B'nei Yisrael. Hashem says, I'm making it about the Jewish people. But when Moshe commands the soldiers, Vayedaber Moshe al Ha'am, what does he say? Go fight Midian. Letet nikmas Hashem b'Midian. Go take revenge for God. So in other words, both by Melchemes Amalek and Melchemes Midian, it's a spiritual battle. We're fighting on behalf of Hashem. It's a battle for Hashem. So when we came out of Mitzrayim, we're on our way to Kabbalah Satorah. Amalek says, I don't want that next shlav of reality to exist. I don't want Kabbalah Satorah. So Amalek tries to block us on the way to Kabbalah Satorah. Battle against Hashem. And the same thing is with Midian. The Jewish people are trying to find their way to Eretz Yisrael. And Midian comes and tries to block us once again. These are spiritual battles at critical, critical junctures of Jewish history. On the verge of Kabbalah Satorah, Amalek blocks. We're on the verge of entering Eretz Yisrael, Midian comes and blocks. And both times they block in the same way. Kedusha and Demuna. Look what he writes, two lines from the bottom of the first column. He says, Klipas Midian hu osa bechina shel klipas Amalek. Midian and Amalek actually have a lot to do with each other. In fact, he says, if you look in the Zohar tells us that if you take the enemies of the Jewish people who are creating this whole mess by Midian, Bilam and Balak, that merger of Bilam and Balak, look what letters you have. The end of Bilam is Am. The end of Balak is Lak. What do you get when you put them together? Amalek. What's with the other letters that remain? You could read it as Bavel, right? But really, it's also a Lashon of Bilbul, which is exactly what we've been explaining. It's Erev Rav. It's becoming Mububal. It's not being able to think straight. When my mind becomes corrupted by Avodah Zarah, or a person makes irrational choices because of Inyanei Kedusha, because he says, I can't control my Yetzer Hara, my Taiva is too strong. So that becomes very, very, very scary and very dangerous. Okay, let's go to the left column, the next big paragraph. V'hinei. V'hinei ikar inyan hadveikas hu midas hadas. Ah, interesting. There's our das again. The way that a person clings to something is through das. Das means attachment. Shedas hu dveikus, das means attachment, as we see, v'adam yada. It says in Bereishis Perek Dalet, Adam knew his wife. And then they had children. So obviously it means a form of physical closeness, of attachment. Umaran bal yisod ha'avoda. The first Slonimah Rebbe, it is Nesivas Shalom, this was the last Slonimah Rebbe before the present one. He passed away in the year 2000. So the first Slonimah Rebbe was known as the Yesod HaAvoda. That was the name of a sefer. So the first Slonimah Rebbe, the Yesod HaAvoda, Mevar Inyan Midas HaDas. He explained the concept of Das. What is Das? Chachma Moicha Bina Liba. Okay, Chavre, don't get lost here. All right, we have, so to speak, right brain and left brain. Or what we have is known as Chachma and Bina. He's referring to it as Chachma, which comes from the mind, and Bina, which comes from the heart. Right? We can kind of think with our minds. We can kind of think or feel with the heart. Maybe it represents minds and emotions, or maybe two different ways of thinking. But we talk about Chabad, Chachma, Bina, Das. So Das is sort of the merger of Chachma and Bina, or said differently, the merger of what? Of Moach and Lev. Mind and heart. Emuna and Kedusha, as we'll see. Das yamida kolales beza dvarim moach v'lev. Das is, so to speak, the blending, the bridging of the mind and the heart. Uvizem b'farish ma'imr chazal, this is what it means in Kedushin. Shema hear her tshuva b'daito. The Gemara in Kedushin says, if a person says, I'm married to this woman, I'm a naser, I'm a tzaddik. Imagine, you say, harei ha'mikudesh esli. Say to a girl, it's chutzpah. You take a ring in your hand, you say, Harei ad mikudesh esli almanas that I'm a tzaddik. Right? No, what do you say? Kedushin's good or no good? Kedushin's good. What? This guy's not a tzaddik. Says the Gemara, Shema hear her tshuva b'daita. Maybe he became a tzaddik at that very moment. Maybe, what? He had a true hearer of tshuva in his what? In his das. Maybe in one moment he was able to what? To restore his mind and his heart to the way it's supposed to be. And when a person, again, bridges those together, my mind and my heart are proper, then I can be a tzaddik. Remember, how did we start this piece? What type of people did we want on the battlefield in fighting Midian and Amalek? Tzaddikim, anashim. Chazal say tzaddikim. Not just people, anashim. Elevated people, tzaddikim. Shamadrega gavoa b'tshuva, the highest level of tshuva is coming to a place of what? Of das. Now you're going to say this is all very counterintuitive because on Purim, adlo yada. Okay, let's not worry about that question from the Purim angle right now. So now, look what he writes. Ubilam, where it's underlined, hayodea das elyon. Who is das in holiness? Who represents das of Kedusha? Moshe. Moshe is das. Who's the das of klipa, of negativity? Bilam. Moshe had the greatest clarity in his connection to Hashem. So Bilam, who's the anti-Moshe, I guess is somewhat like Amalek, creating the greatest lack of clarity in awareness of Hashem. It's a das of klipa. It's wrongful attachment. Shehi ha-keneged shel Moshe Rabbeinu alav ha-shalom shayadas te-kedusha. Bilam is the anti-Moshe. V'lachein rotzalach shilam u'letama b'midas ha-das. So Bilam wanted to what? To damage our das. Das means proper connection. How do you damage das? Where does das come from? It's a combination of malach and lev. So Bilam says, how am I going to destroy the Jewish mind and the Jewish heart? That's pretty easy. I destroy their mind by getting avodah zarah thoughts into their brains. And I destroy their hearts by placing passion for non-Jewish women in their hearts. And that's exactly what Bilam did. Mamish avodah zarah and gilei arayos. Kedusha and emunah. The emunas ha-malach and the emunas ha-lev. Right? There's a kedusha of the malach and a kedusha of the lev. So when we have emunah and kedusha, we stay connected to Hashem. If God forbid we lose our emunah and kedusha, then everything falls apart. And that's exactly what Bilam and Balak, representing a bilbul that was likened to Amalek, see the letters right there, they come and they try to cause that disconnect. Okay, turn to the second side of the page. So now we're starting to understand, again, why we needed tzaddikim on the battlefield. What was the tefillah? We asked the question, why was there so much tefillah? Why was there so much tefillah when we went out to fight these two battles, Amalek and Melchemes Midian? So he writes on the back side of the page, look at the middle paragraph in the right column. U'keneged ze ksiv b'melchemes Amalek, v'yehi yadav emuna. How are Moshe Rabbeinu's hands described? Mamish on the battlefield against Amalek. As he's praying, his hands are called emuna. Because emuna is maybe the greatest expression of, that tefillah is maybe the greatest expression of emuna that we have. The fact that we learn Torah, I don't know if that necessarily, I mean, it does, it's an expression of our belief in Hashem. But there's nothing that says I believe in God more than praying. Think about it. It may not have felt like much of a conversation when you daven today, but we spoke to God. You know how crazy that sounds? Picture yourself saying words to God, talking to God. Is there a greater expression of emunah than that? David HaMelech said about himself, what? Va'ani? Va'ani? Tfila. Ani tfila. David says, I am prayer. David is emunah. David is tefillah. Right? Tefillah and emunah go together. So yes, Moshe's hands on the field are described as what? Hands of faith. Vayihi yad of emunah. We know what those hands are. Those are hands of tefillah. But they're called hands of emunah. They're called hands of emunah. What were the Jewish people doing when Cusbi and Zimri were committing this act of arayos in public? Until Pinchas showed up with his spear, his romach. What were the Jews doing? Anyone know? You know what it says they were doing? It says, you can see where it's highlighted, you see where it says Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel? The Targum Yonasan Ben Uziel says that while Cosby and Zimri were being intimate in the middle of the street, yeah, what were the Jews doing? It says the Jews were crying and they were reciting Kriyashma. They were standing there crying and reciting Shema. They were davening. They didn't know what to do about this. Shekriya Shema, is there a greater expression of Amuna? Meaning the Jews who had the understanding of what was going on here, they said, we have to be mechazik our Amuna in order to stop this Arayos. Because they're connected. Amuna and Kedusha go together. My mind and my heart go together. There was someone who was involved with a non-Jewish woman who then started having all these questions of Amuna. So he came to Rav Chaim Brisker to ask him about his, you know, questions of faith. And Rav Chaim Brisker knew that he was involved in all sorts of arayos on the side. Right? Oh, it's so interesting. All of a sudden he gets involved with, you know, this non-Jewish girl. Next thing you know, he's got all these philosophical questions. So he came to Rav Chaim Brisker to discuss his kashyas and amunah. And Rav Chaim Brisker said to him, you don't have questions, you have answers. These are not questions, these are answers. In other words, these are the excuses that you're making so that you can live with this non-Jewish woman. Amun and Kedusha, they always go together. When a person's nizar in their amunah, when I chazik my amunah, when I know how a Jew is supposed to think, it's easier for me to control my Kedusha. And when I control my Kedusha, it's easier to think like a Jew. But they're mamish mekusher to one another. So it's interesting. The Jews are standing there, they see someone, they see a Nasi who's lost his way, who's involved in what? Who's involved in Arayos. So the Jews are saying Shema, so they're crying and they're saying Shema. Until Pinchas comes and decides to take that Shema and turn it into a weapon. What type of weapon did Pinchas use to kill Cosby and Zer? A spear. How do you say spear in Hebrew? What does the Torah say? He took what? He took a romach. Anyone understand why that's interesting? Why romach? Why romach? What's a romach? Romach's a spear. Why romach? Reish mem ches. Why romach? 248. How many words are there in Kriyat Shema? 248. So he took the Shema that they were saying, he took it in his hand, and he put an end to the Arayos. Right? Gematria Avram, right? So Avram is the first of the Ma'aminim. Every time we say Shema, we're reattaching ourselves to the first one who believed in Hashem. Avram Avinu, who got his bris milah with Mesiras Nefesh, Amuna, Kedusha, Avram Avinu. That's who we look to. So now, says the Nesiv HaShalom, we understand now why we need tzaddikim on the battlefield. We understand why we need tefillah on the battlefield. We need Kedusha and Amuna when you're fighting Amalek or you're fighting Midian. This is true on the verge, on the cusp of Kabbalah Satorah. This is true on the cusp of entering into Eretz Yisrael. And Chevra says in the Nesiv HaShalom, Psak Halacha. Let's learn the last big paragraph. The left column. Ukemo shebemelchemes Midyan. Uvesez gabris ha-sitra acha. Binyanim elu. Just like these two critical junctures of Jewish history, Kedusha and Amunah became battle. That became the struggle. He says, so too, in our time, Kemo Kain, where it's underlined, Ata be'ikfas of the Meshicha, Lifnei ha-ge'ula, Iker his gabrus ha-yetzer, hu b'miyuchad b'beiz inyanim elu b'amuna u'b'kedusha, shezehu ha-nisayon ha-acheron. Nesiv HaShalom is a very smart person. I'm not just talking about a person who knew a lot of Torah, or a chash of a Rebbe, which he was. Nesiv HaShalom, people who met him, people who knew him, you read his writings, there's a reason the Sefer got so popular. It's not just that it's an easier Hasidic work, so, you know, it's like an entry point for people who want to learn a little Hasidus. He was a very insightful person. Nesiv HaShalom says, just pay attention to what's happening in the world today. It's very obvious. Emuna and Kedusha. Heresy like never before. The basic notion of in God we trust, written on your dollar bills. Not popular. Kedusha. Kedusha. God forbid waiting till you're married before a person gets involved in all sorts of sexual activity. What's wrong with you? Why are you so old-fashioned? The world encourages a breakdown of Amun and Kedusha. But that itself is a sign, says the Nesiv HaShalom, that we're very close to Mashiach. We're close to the Ikvas of the Mashiach. This is it. These are the final stages. By the way, of course, if we're battling Haman, if we're battling Amalek on Purim, we also need Amun and Kedusha, which is something you see in the two heroes of the Purim story. You have Esther and you have Mordechai. Mordechai we call Mordechai HaTzadik. Not too many people we call HaTzadik. We refer to him as Mordechai HaTzadik. Like Yosef HaTzadik. And Esther, Esther, Hadassah, he Esther, is very much makushar to that world of what? Of tefillah. Of crying out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of davening to Hashem on her way into Achashverosh, hoping that Hashem is going to save her. So Mordechai and Esther in many ways are also this balance of Emunah and Kedusha. Tefillah is a big inyan on Purim. Kedusha, again, is always a big inyan when you fight against the Malik. So now look how he ties it up. He wraps it all up. U'keneged zeh tiyeh geula yedei Mashiach ben David u'Mashiach ben Yosef. Just like Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter told us. Why do we have two Mashiachs? You never understood until today. Why does the Gemara talk about these two Mashiachs? Mashiach ben Yosef, and then Mashiach ben David. The Gemara says in the fifth parak of Sukkah, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed in battle, and then Mashiach ben David is going to bring the final geula. What's this inyan of Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David? What's the story? Why do we need two Mashiachs? And the answer is very obvious to us now. Because we need a Yosef, we need a David. We need a Kedusha, we need a Namuna. Mashiach ben David, who midas malchus, shu inyan amuna. Mashiach ben David represents malchus, the lowest of the spheros. The lowest of the spheros, malchus, is compared to the moon. Esther is compared to the moon. That's what her name Esther means. So that represents tefillah. Malchus is the bottom of the spheros. I have nothing of my own. I'm entirely dependent on those who are above me. I receive from everything that comes above me. That's tefillah. That's David HaMelech. Va'ani, tefillah. David called himself tefillah. Mashiach ben Yosef is the midah of Yisod. Shezeu inyan ha-kedusha. Yosef, of course, is Yisod, is Kedusha, is Bris Milah. Ve'hem yitachnu beiz inyanim elu. And they are going to fix these two things and bring the gula. V'zekol inyan ha-galus b'midos hadas. That's what it means when the pasuk says, gola ami mibli das. We have a lack of das. So again, here's the Purim joke. Ready for the Purim joke? What's the answer to the question? If we said that Amuna and Kedusha represent Chachma and Bina, represent mind and heart, represent, you know, belief in God and control of my desires, right? And when I bridge those together, I create das. I'm like Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah? I'm a person of das. And I fight against the Bilams and the Bullocks. I try to destroy das with Avodah Zarah thoughts and Arayos desires. So why on Purim, the biggest fight against Amalek, are we Mevatel our das? Das is the main thing that we need. Why are we Mevatel the das? Because that's always the joke. On Purim, the joke is that Amalek, right? Whatever Amalek says, I'm going to do this to you. We say, you can do it, but we're going to do it in a holy way. Amalek says, I'm going to destroy your das. So we say to Amalek, nah, we're going to destroy our das in a holy way before you can destroy our das. Adelo yada. We're going to show you that sometimes, right, not having das is like the highest way to connect to Hashem. What do you mean? Das means connection. Right? Das means connection. Amuna, Kedusha. Right? On Purim, we're going to show you that we're going to throw out our das and we're going to have Amuna and Kedusha. That's the Ben Hafach. That's the irony. You want to destroy das? We'll show you that even without das, we can be connected to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's the biggest Ben Hafach. That's the biggest joke of all. That's the most ironic truth of all. That the thing that we need more than anything to fight Amalek was das, right? Now we throw the whole thing away on Purim and we still defeat Amalek. That's the biggest joke. That's the biggest laughter. That's the most ironic thing that could possibly... Why do we laugh? When something ironic happens, when something unexpected happens, it causes a person to laugh. So das, right? There's an Indian of what? Gola ami b'li das. A golus from a lack of das. In Mitzrayim, we lack das. Coming out of Mitzrayim, we got our das back. And that's why Amalek tries to fight our das. So you know what? On Purim, we say, you know what? You take the das. We'll find another way to have a Amunah and Kedusha without das. That's the unbelievable irony. That by bitul hadas, when we negate our das, we make more room for Hashem's das. And after all, what is Mashiach? Kimala aretz deya as Hashem. Make room for Hashem's das. That's exactly what we're doing on Purim. He ends by saying that this is also the inyan of Tzion and Yerushalayim. Right? The Tzion is that aspect of Eretz Yisrael that corresponds to Yosef. Yosef is Gematria Tzion. Yerushalayim is a place of Emunah. Is a place of Emunah. So Tzion, the restoration of Tzion and Yerushalayim is also connected to this Indian. But again, at every major point in Jewish history, this is the Indian. So if you look at our world today and you say, how am I going to survive? There's so much, you know, perverse, sexually immoral content in the world. And there's so much kfira in the world. Right? And I know that these are the main things I need, Amun and Kedusha. But you should also turn around and say, you know what? But the fact that it's so out of control, just like it was on the verge, on the cusp of Kabbalah Satorah, just like it was, Mamish, as we're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, so I guess this is a sign that we're getting very, very close to Mashiach. Okay? I'll just end with one Gemara in the Sefer Makos. Gemara Makos says that there were different tzaddikim who were trying to summarize the Torah at different points of Jewish history. Right? To sum up the whole Torah. How many principles are there in the Torah? Maybe it's these 11 principles, it's these 10 principles, it's these 7 principles. Finally, Bo Chabakuk ve'amidon al achas. Chabakuk came along, and Chabakuk says, if I have to sum up the whole Torah, I can sum it up in one principle. What is that one principle? V'tzadik be'amunaso yichya. A tzadik lives by his faith. So I know we've pointed it out in the past, but just to say it in the context of this, how can we not? What is the Pasuk telling us? What is Chabakuk telling us? What is the key to survival? Right? Emunah. Tzadik be'emunaso yichya. But you got to read it carefully. I think he's saying more than that. What's he saying? V'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. It's two things. Tzadik. It's Yosef a tzadik. Emunah. Emunah is tefillah, is Davar HaMelech. Right? V'tzadik be'emunaso, if you have the Indian of tzadik, kedusha, and you have emunah, yichya, then a person zorcha to the gula shlema. That's what Chabakuk's big revelation. V'tzadik be'emunaso yichya. You have to have the combination of the two. And then a person will be zorcha to gula. So again, this is Mohammed Samalik. This is how we fight a malik. We fight a malik by strengthening in yanei kedusha, strengthening in yanei emunah. Again, all year round, that means solidifying your das, combine your moach and your lev, chachma and bina, to defeat a malik. On Purim, we do it in an ironic way, ad lo yada. We kind of throw away the das as a means of reaching the highest level of das, right? A das that transcends das. But again, this is mamish the sugya, and it's just so true. We see it in the world in such a clear and true way. Okay. So we should be zochet to be strong in both these inyanim, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David, and to bring the Geula Shlema. Yes, David.
So you were saying earlier on this call that this relates to Mashiach ben David, Mashiach ben Yosef, Mashiach ben David's Ras Malkus, which is the inyan of Emunah, and then Mashiach ben Yosef is Ras Yisrael, which is the inyan of Kedusha. So how do we now connect that back to Chachma and Bina up there on the bottom? And we're saying that that's supposed to lead to Das.
I hear what you're saying. In terms of the spheres, we're talking about Chachma and Bina,
right.
And then we're talking about Yesod and Malchus.
Right. Is it, awesome? I mean, I've heard before that you can, put it on its head. And
probably has something to do with it, yeah. Yeah, it's probably, in a certain sense, if we're using Das as opposed to Keser, so Chachma and Bina sort of the top, and Yesod and Das, Yesod and Malchus at the bottom. What? But yeah, I think that's, that's part of the Vin Havachu story also, kind of flipping the whole chart upside down, yeah.
You said that we're discussing Chachma and Bina, which are Moach and Lev.
Yeah, Moach and Lev. Okay. Circumcise the mind, circumcise the heart, circumcise the body. Very good. Very good. Yeah, okay, so we need Mordechai and Esther. Mordechai and Esther's Gematria Ikvah Siddicha. We gotta do it. Shana Muna,
What was that?
We do it.